Okay, let's get going. Hour number two on this 9/11, this 14th anniversary of one of the greatest false flag con jobs ever. They killed allegedly around 2,700 people, and look at the mileage they got out of it. My God. On this highway and byway system of our country, we kill 45,000 a year. A year. That's a round average, but it's about right. And you talk about what you can do by killing 2,700. And they killed the accounting team at the Pentagon, which was going after the missing 2.5 approximately billion, or was it trillion?
Or so we're told.
So we're told. So yeah. We're told. This is all part and parcel of the potential that we've been talking about for the last hour.
Yeah, I learned to separate out what we're told from what, you know, I myself can see. Yeah, to the point that you know, when I was in my research and, you know, books say that Tesla discovered X, Y, and Z. Well, how do I know? That's a story in a book. And then I discovered this person who lives in the here and now and can replicate that. Oh, I want to go visit that person because then I can see it myself and not just believe it. And that becomes more and more important to be able to see things directly, which is why my book has to be as extensive as it is. And
right.
It's not just
a picture book of the destruction of the towers. Okay, I hope we've gotten that across, folks.
Yep.
At all. It's almost a philosophical paradigm of interpretation skills that most people will never dream of.
And it has to be that way to get people to see it, because you have to remove the scales off the eyes. But the other thing that has to be learned is to break the habit of jumping to a conclusion. You hear one thing, you automatically assume the answer. That's, I think, a human tendency. That, like, for example, this first responder who was down on FDR Drive saw a car that appeared to go into spontaneous combustion. He needed an explanation for it, so he assumed a fireball came down from the towers, rolled down the hill, and hit the car. Because why else would the car go into spontaneous combustion?
Of course.
Then he had his answer. But once you have that answer, you quit looking at what's going on. So it's important to just notice what you know that you know. The answer will come to you if you look at the evidence long enough. If you don't know what happened, keep listening to the evidence until you do. Don't force the evidence to go where you want it to go. Let it show you. And that becomes kind of frustrating for a lot of people, because they want to just get the answer. Be comfortable with not knowing the answer. Like, we don't know what they're going to pull.
Yeah, now that's another interesting statement. Learning to be comfortable without knowing the answer, without having the facts to draw the conclusions from, but without knowing the answer, because the answer is what we're given. The answer doesn't need to have legs, doesn't need to have clothes. It's an answer.
And one example of that I think everyone can relate to, no matter what their beliefs are, that they remember there were supposed jumpers out of the towers, lots of them. Why were they jumping? We don't know. People assume it must have had rip-roaring hot fires in there, and that's why they're jumping. That's right. An assumption that gets made. But if you just keep looking, okay, they're coming out, but that's a lot more than, you know, this one firefighter, in all of his time on the force, 20 years, he'd never seen anybody jump but one, and that's when they had to coax out of a second floor window into a net. You know, it just doesn't make sense. There's like 1,200 people that came out of the North Tower. So what's going on here? And just to be comfortable with that piece of information, you don't have to say why. You just know that's unusual.
Very much so. Yeah.
Or the fact that there's a Category 3 hurricane that was aimed towards New York City for 4 days, and it stopped right outside of New York City. Did they use it? I don't know, but it's mighty strange they didn't mention it. It was just there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what has Judy Wood learned in the last 4 years since you were last on the program? But just in round general descriptions, what kinds of things have come into your consciousness? What kinds of hard facts have come into your consciousness? What have you learned?
Well, that was, you know, that's been one of the things, talking about how easy it is to put in subconscious programming.
Oh,
and
it's
that,
pathetically easy.
Yeah,
it's
that
so
on 9/11, people's brains were just shut down, and they became zombies. and looking at just what's happening to our culture. And it's, I think we're toast.
Well, zombie America, we are toast. We're not going to, if anybody thinks that we're going to rehabilitate what we had 30, 40 years ago, they're delusional. It's not going to go backward. It's only going forward. We're going down and out this ugly black vortex. Where we're coming out, I don't know. But there's no going back. I do know that.
But to hang on to your sanity, it's so important to know what it is that you know, that you know, that you know, because there's going to be a lot of weird stuff going on and a lot of misinformation. Probably 99.999% of what you hear will be misinformation. It may not even be deliberate. One person hears one thing and says it's something else, and you know. But just to be able to sort that out is so important, and it's a lot harder said than done. There's something that comes to mind is a book I read in high school, On the Beach by Neville Shute.
Oh, sure.
There's a scene in that book that's described that the woman in, you know, here it's this nuclear holocaust. It's, you know, life is ending on Earth, but she has to go out and plant her spring flowers.
Do you know?
For a spring that's never going to come.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are doing that now. They're planting their spring flowers, you know, in that sense.
That's a good point.
They can't handle what's happening, so they'll just pretend it's not happening.
What really makes me sick is that these drooling oligarchs that we have are already thinking of what they can do with Mars. And they're going to go. They're going to go trash Mars.
Mm.
They're going to terraform it. And they are.
Yeah, it's there's a kind of a joke I used to have about certain truthers, that you know why they're doing what they're doing. That maybe they're promised a green ticket. You know, like they're going to get on the bus to take them to Mars for safety.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
And then I felt like telling them, no, it's not the green ticket, it's the purple ticket. You got hoodwinked.
They're talking about now getting there in a matter of a couple of months rather than years. They've got a new propulsion system. Looks like a donut. Looks like a UFO is what it looks like.
With this technology that we're talking about?
I think we're already there and have been there, there for quite some time.
This technology was, it was patented on 100 years ago, over 100 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That's in my book. And you know for sure that it's gone underground. But looking at other things, you know, picking up data points, not knowing what the end point is, but let's extrapolate.
Uh-huh.
When did we first see propeller planes? Then we saw, you know, it's turn of the century, propeller planes. Then jet airplanes, and then we have space shuttle, and then what? Nothing?
All gone. No need.
Yeah, meanwhile, we have, this development of microchips and so forth that we didn't have back then. But why hasn't transportation improved since then? It just came to a halt in the, you know, around 1980. That was it. Or actually the mid-70s.
Nobody seems to have noticed either. It was like mission accomplished, period. Done. That's it.
Yeah, the technology has just come to a halt or even, you know, gone backwards a little bit in terms of that.
Yeah.
But noticing what is happening and just, you know, pretend you're watching a show.
Uh-huh.
Or a novel or something.
We are watching a show. It's a show. It's a staged show. Worldwide, the only thing is that we're still in the Colosseum. People are still being sacrificed, killed, murdered, painfully gotten rid of. The same kind of mentality is there. It's now sitting on a bed of technology that is not to be challenged, unless you're on the inside and you have control of some of it. We don't. We are on the outside. That's the way it's going to stay.
Right, but we can... You know that it exists, and what happened in 9/11.
Oh, knowledge is everything. Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure. Right in front of us is undeniable. You know, you can't deny it, even though, but that's the thing that really blew me away is how many people saw it around the world, and very few recognize it, or the ones who did, you know, kept their mouth shut.
Correct.
And I was one of the foolish people to hold to open my mouth.
Yeah.
But you know, back to what happened on the towers, you know, we can, you know, look at it, and what do we know that we know? Can rule out kinetic energy. The building wasn't beaten to death. Rule out thermal energy, it wasn't cooked to death.
Correct.
So the term I call it, you know, I'm just looking at the destructive mechanism. You don't need to talk about weapons. We're looking at the destructive mechanism, what happened.
Uh-huh.
When you see the solid material, you know, turn to dust, so something told the energy in that material, instead of the atoms being attracted to each other, they're now repelling each other. And I call that directed energy, as in the energy is being instructed or directed to do something differently than it normally does.
It can come from satellites. It can be airborne, I would imagine.
It doesn't matter. It can happen.
Yeah.
You know, we have proof it exists because
HARP, it can be bounced off the ionosphere and brought back down, too. I mean, there are a lot of things possible.
I tend to shy away from the name dropping, like things of HARP.
Yeah,
because
HARP's
because
old stuff.
Well, also, it's classified technology, and so we don't know what it does. But people like to throw that name around, and so what I say it is...
You know what else they throw around? The word quantum. Mm-hmm. My God, I hear quantum hair shampoo. Everything's quantum. No, you ask them to define quantum, and they can't.
You know what HAARP stands for?
High Altitude Auroral?
No, High Amplitude Advancement of Real Propaganda.
Ah, better yet.
Because there's this name dropping, and people shut off their brains when they have something to blame it on.
Uh-huh.
So, it was HARP. Then, you know, they don't need to get in any further to look at, you know, what happened. Oh, it was HARP. Or it was this, it was that, it was scalar weapons. It was torsion physics.
Now, there's another one. Scalar. Yep. What is scalar, Judy?
Well, a scalar is a magnitude without direction. But, you know, they use it in another sense. But
they do.
It's just this name dropping.
Thank you. Very nicely said.
In my chapter 20, the conclusions of it, I go into why, you know, I don't name drop trendy terms. Because as soon as you name something, people, it's like pulling a veil of mystery over it. They have a name now, and they quit looking at what it does, whatever it was. And so, I actually do name it in the book by the symptoms of it. I call it magnetic electrogravitic nuclear reactions. That's what gets caused from it. But if you name drop, you quit thinking. But instead, we know what it did, and that is the vital thing.
Right.
It is building turned into powder in midair. The solid objects,
steel girders, come on, all that just turned to dust.
Yeah. And they didn't crash the ground. We have plenty of evidence of that.
No, they turned to dust and blew around our fumes.
And gone with the wind. You see these guys coming out of their hiding places, and wait, where's Tower 1? And you see just bare pavement in front of them, except it has dust on it and a couple of pieces of aluminum cladding.
Right.
There were some, you know, steel wheat checks around, but not very much at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the seismic signal did not reflect anything slamming to the ground. There was
it wasn't there. I remember that now. Yeah, the seismology wasn't there to back it up.
Yeah, there's three kinds of waves, F wave, P wave, and surface wave. Surface wave was there, but no S wave or P wave. Those two travel through the Earth. They travel at different rates. You remember with like a earthquake, the P wave gets there first, and then the S wave, and you look at the time lag between them, and you can know how far away the epicenter is. And they're just missing in all of the events that happened that day in New York. The supposed, plane-shaped holes that appear in the buildings, both of those, there's a surface wave, but not a S wave or P wave, and the demise of the three big buildings. And actually, with Building 7, it's six times the size of the Seattle King Dome that they blew up in controlled demolition with, you know, a lot of seismographs around town.
Right.
Yet, you know, it made a 2.3. But when Building 7 went away, that's six times the potential energy, it made a 0.6 on the Richter scale, which is calculated from surface weight.
I didn't know that.
It's like a one story worth of, or two stories.
Yeah, that's remarkable. So what does that tell us? By the time
the
it hit the ground,
slam to the ground.
No, by the time it hit the ground, it was already fumes.
Yes, and it also turned to fumes all afternoon. You saw all the stuff pouring out of that building all afternoon.
Uh-huh.
From one side only, for almost all the afternoon until just before its demise. Then it started pouring out of the eastern face as well.
Right.
From ground to roof, which was really weird. Because fires, you know, they burn up all the fuel in one office, and they move to the next office and burn that up, move the next office. They don't, it isn't like, you know, a 7-hour burn over the whole building uniformly.
I have, ever since you were first on, and it must be 10 years ago. I don't remember, but you've been on several times over the years, and I'm always grateful to spend time with you. My personal feeling is that they were using shaped nuclear charges to possibly gut the core 13 towers, 13 columns, and directional energy weapons of some kind or kinds from exterior locations, which is what your book really brings to
light. I can disprove it. I can disprove that.
Okay.
Well, directional energy weapons, you're thinking of, you know, a point and shoot. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a volume affected, you know, a force field kind of thing. And force fields that intersect that cause whatever's happening in there to, you know, do something differently that normally does.
So are you saying you discount nuclear nuclear
push? There's several reasons why you can discount nukes. There's a piece of data that was missing on 9/11.
Uh huh.
You know what data that was? For
Tell
nukes.
Me.
It would be a real bright light.
Hmm.
There wasn't any big bright light. Also, it'd be lots of heat.
Well, now there are people who say that not necessarily with the current technology that we have, that they changed.
What is a
I don't have the facts. I don't have the access to the data. I can't tell you.
There's something about a minimum.
Why couldn't we use both, Judy? We don't have facts.
I'm talking about what destructive mechanism did it cause? See, I'm not talking about a weapon. I'm talking about the destructive mechanism. What happened to the material? The material.
That's where the exterior. That's where you come in. That's where the exterior.
What do you mean where I come in? I'm not talking about a weapon.
I'm talking about
what happened to the material.
They turned to powder, fumes.
Right. And without high heat, actually the temperature was cooler than ambient temperature.
Well, now, okay, what do we have to, and I hear people out there, the few who are informed, when they were at the bottom of the debris field and they were finding liquid molten pools weeks later.
It wasn't hot. It was rolling over a piece of paper and the paper wasn't burning.
Wait. The pools of liquid metal.
Well, there's no photos of that.
There
are. Wading through it, but there's evidence that there was no high heat right after the event.
Okay.
The whole thing is covered with water. There's a broken water main, and it was a lake. And then you have firemen walking through the lake.
I'm not in a position to dispute anything. All I'm doing is raising issues.
Okay, but what I'm pointing out is why you can say there's no high heat. Right afterwards, in the destruction of the buildings, a water main was broken and all of the area flooded. And you have firemen walking through that water and they don't look like boiled chicken. There's no steam coming off of that water. It's not hot.
Got it.
So how do you have anything super hot in there?
Do we have nukes that don't give off much heat anymore?
Then they're not a nuke. I'm not saying there was no nuclear reaction. I'm saying there's no nuke bombs. No, big ones, small ones, in between size ones. Nothing that goes boom or with a
no,
high
No, I'm not talking about that either. These are
okay.
Well, I'm suggesting if there were any, they were quite small and strategically placed.
Yeah, there was
and
nothing.
Then and your weapons came in.
I'm not talking about weapons. I'm talking about what happened to the building. The destructive mechanism.
Whatever you want to call it. Your modality of turning the building into fumes came into play.
Well, that's
from an exterior source.
There was no high heat.
Okay, I'm suggesting
the guys who walked out of Stairway B didn't remember being burned to death.
Well, they wouldn't if they were, and you're right.
There's no burning paper. The paper didn't burn.
What technology, for our listeners, was used to turn the buildings to fumes? What you call it?
I'm just calling it, whatever caused this destructive mechanism. It wasn't kinetic energy. It wasn't thermal energy. It was directed energy. And I describe that as energy was instructed to do something differently than it normally does. Instead of the atoms being attracted to each other, they're instructed to repel each other.
Okay.
And
why couldn't that be at something the Department of Defense and the Pentagon would love and would be drooling to get their
course,
hands on?
Of course. But what I'm saying is that there's no evidence of high heat. It's the opposite. But what this does, there is a nuclear reaction, a very low-level nuclear reaction that is part of this. That's why I call it magnetic electrogravitic nuclear reactions.
Okay.
And that's where the tritium came from. If it was a nuke, you'd have sky high levels of
a nuclear physicist. I don't know what they're going to give off. You mentioned tritium, okay?
But there's actually a section in my book about it. That very thing.
All right.
A tremendous amount of
very exotic, very eclectic. Force was brought to bear on those buildings.
Yeah, page 373 in the book, and 374 and 375. But I also point out, you think they could have kept Chernobyl a secret? What happened at Chernobyl? It was measured around the globe.
Well, it polluted and contaminated almost all of Europe, and they still won't talk about it.
Right, and what was used at the World Trade Center didn't do that.
No, and I'm saying that I'm suggesting that there are nuclear weapons now that may not give off heat signatures and may not leave residual radioactivity. Yeah.
Maybe what you're calling, what I'm saying, created the.
I think we may be on the same page here.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. I'm saying the destructive mechanism was directed energy. The energy was directed to do something differently than normal.
I'm 100% on board with you on that.
Okay,
absolutely.
And the result of whatever this gizmo was created these various traces of stuff that was left behind. One of which is it shows that it was a nuclear reaction. There's other things that show it too. For example, the dust cloud rolls out a certain distance and then goes up. Isn't that weird? It goes up and up and up.
Yeah, it's very strange, very unorthodox.
It doesn't look like
physics, normal physics.
Yeah, here's a secret that I may not have mentioned then. I wasn't putting out speculation in my book, but now it's become more and more clear. But went out, and now imagine it has little tiny hydrogen balloons, and they're helium balloons.
Okay.
I'm sorry, helium balloons in the dust that, take it up.
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, when you get nuclear reactions like with cold fusion, a type of cold fusion, it generates helium.
Oh, interesting.
In the process.
Interesting.
So here you have this dust rolling out, and then just before it hits the building where Bob and Bree were filming, it doesn't quite touch their window. It starts going up, and it's like rising yeast bread. It goes up and up and up. It's really weird. And I think it gets its
part of
the
reaction. So
there
was some helium. There was helium in there somehow created?
That's what it appears to be.
That's very interesting.
And that's not something somebody on the street would pick up. They're busy, running from the dust cloud.
Oh, my God. They're not going to pick that up.
It's kind of You know, so yeah. You look at how the dust rolls out, and then at a certain point, like with the South Tower went first, it rolled out to one street and then, you know, abruptly stopped. When the North Tower went, it rolled out past that to the next street and stopped. And the two towers were a block apart, so it rolled out the same distance before it went mm-hmm. up at the same point in the reaction.
Yeah, interesting. Willie Rodriguez, wonderful guest on this program many times. The last man out, whatever. Your thoughts about Willie's story about being down? I guess he was at level 2 below ground, helping people up from level 3.
Yeah. When somebody's story is has some falsehoods in it, you know, he has some truth in it, but when it has falsehoods in it, I can't pick and choose data. I have to throw out the whole data set.
Okay.
And that's what it came to.
That's science. That's called science, real science.
Yeah. And, you know, he's not a scientist, so he could have been, you know, extending things. You know, he was at different places. He saw the airplanes, didn't see the airplane. Wait, wasn't he in the basement? You know, there's a lot of confusion. He also thought he saw Muhammad Atta in a bathroom making measurements a month before the building, you know, the event happened.
In his green Speedos.
Hear something, and so when you hear stories like that, you just have to tune it out and not rely on that. Yeah, it's the only scientific way to go instead of picking and choosing. But there was stuff happening, you know, like it was what 58 minutes or 59 minutes that the South Tower stood before it went poof. It was deteriorating that entire time.
Yeah,
and that's of course why people are going out the windows.
Okay, so what you're saying, all right, what I'm hearing you say is that whatever, I won't call it a weapon, whatever force was used on these buildings was already...
Whatever technology
was underway, and it drove those people out from inside because the building mm-hmm. was being turned to fumes. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Right, and the guy hanging out the window, dangling from the 105th floor, looks like mm-hmm. he's hanging by a hand and a foot, taking his pants off. Why would it necessitate, whatever reason he had to take his pants off, why would it necessitate taking him off, dangling outside the building from a hand and a foot? You know,
Good question.
Then you notice other people have shirts off and pants off, and... You know, you start thinking, is there, you know, does he have a polyester clothes on? Or is it, you know, go to the restroom to get wet before you lose water pressure?
Well, and people are going to say, clothes. Well, it's just the fires caused so much heat in there, they couldn't stand it, blah, blah, blah. That's what they say.
You didn't see any smoke coming out those windows. And even
no,
if there was smoke, whatever reason you have to take the pants off, let's not worry about that. Let's say there's smoke in there. Well, see, okay, you take in a big, deep breath, you step in, take the pants off, and step back out.
Right.
What necessitates taking the pants off outside the building? And the more I looked at the data, and also Melissa Doy, who called 911, says, I'm hot, I'm burning up, really hot, right? I can't breathe, I'm choking. That's not somebody who's really hot. This went on for 5 minutes. And at first I thought it was fake, but then I got to realize, you know, if it's real, it could be she believes she's burning up. Like, imagine if you were being hit by a field of microwave energy. It would be
gotcha.
Making your surface of your skin feel like it was burning up. If she
gotcha.
Was really hot,
yep.
you know, there's a limit to how long you can stay in the hot tub because you can't function, your muscles can't function
if
you're overheated.
Uh-huh.
And she described this, and you never heard her choking. And there's a lot of examples of that in the building coming apart. And there was a woman who, with her friend, wetted down towels, put them on their heads. This is the South Tower. Called her husband, says she's on her way down. She'll call him when she gets to the bottom. Everything's fine. Two or three stories later, out the window she went. So we knew she was wet because she
something was going on, Judy. If I can speak
yep.
for you, inside those
yep.
buildings, it was intolerable
yep.
to life as we recognize it, and
yep.
those people were being forced to
yep.
flee. And I mean straight out.
Right, and like there's this one guy who looks like he's flapping his wings. It's like, how to get out here? Whoa, how, you know, he was just jumping away from something horrendous and in the process ended up outside the building. And so that also,
When those buildings fell, Judy, they were already fumes.
Oh,
to
yeah.
To a large degree.
Yeah, there's one guy who, It's kind of a cute story. He's a probationary firefighter. It's his first day out on the scene.
Oh, God.
And he's with his boss, and he's supposed to do everything his boss says. You know, no ands, ifs, or buts. Follow, okay, yes, sir, yes, sir. They get to the 23rd floor of North Tower, and something's happening, and his boss says, drop everything. And it turned out it was the South Tower, you know, turning to dust. Okay, then they continue on. They continue on. A few stories later, his boss says, where's your face mask? Well, boss, you said to drop everything.
Oh,
you know, okay, you got to get out of here. You don't have your face mask. Get, you know. So the kid starts down the stairs by himself, and he gets to the third floor, and he describes a total blackout that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, but he knew it wasn't smoke because you could breathe. There was oxygen. It was the building turning to dust. And he got outside and got just a little bit away from the building, and there it went. Went poof. So it was just before he got out, the building was indeed coming apart. There's a lot of different pieces of evidence of that. Now, again, people don't know what the answer is. They have to jump to a conclusion. They call it smoke.
Okay. The gizmo, the technology involved, is in the possession, in the hands of people. I would rather not have something like that.
And the more we know about it, if you know, say if half the people on the planet read my book, you know, this would be under control. And if people can identify it, they see it again, they go, ah, somebody's used it. They're less likely to use it. If people can't identify it, it's more likely to be used. But just going after the person who pushed the start button isn't going to do anything because you have 10 more lined up to take over.
Right.
The technology is out there. And so the meaning of the title of my book, Where Did the Towers Go? And then the subtitle, Evidence of Directed Free Energy Technology at 9/11. What I mean by that is a couple of different things is, you know, it's a silver lining in the dark cloud. We could use it for free energy. What I mean by that is naturally occurring energy. It's clean energy.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But the other side of it is, you know, this is what happened is proof that a technology exists that can do what was done.
Correct.
The building's mostly turned to dust.
And that was 14 years ago, Judy.
Right. So the building mostly turned to dust in midair. So this is evidence that such a technology exists that can do what was done.
It existed then, and it's been probably refined over 14 years.
So that's why I have that subtitle. Yeah. It's evidence that such a technology exists, but it can be used for good things. Doesn't have to be used for bad things. But it's evidence that exists. You know, various folks try to say that's a theory. No. We saw the building turn dust in midair. So obviously something that can turn buildings to dust in midair must exist. That's the proof it exists. I don't need to give you the serial numbers. This is a pile of evidence, but we know it exists. And of course it's going to be used again. And I'm sure it has been used. I haven't studied other events quite as strongly, but there's some that, you know, I have a suspicion on, such as Oklahoma City, with those cylindrical cutouts in the building. How does a bomb on the street make cylindrical cutouts in a building?
How many years prior was that?
Was it 97? No, 95, I think it was. No, it was either 95 or 97, one of those years. But I do know 2007 was that bridge in Minneapolis. And I was there right afterwards. There was some weird stuff going on. They had it in total lockdown, like you know, a mile away. They closed down adjacent bridges so nobody could take pictures, you know, and look over.
Right.
But the bridge, all of the supports gave way at the exact same moment. Something that a lot of folks don't know is that half the bridge was closed down for road work. So even though it was rush hour, it only had half the load that it had for the past, you know, year. So why is it suddenly giving way with half a load on it? And then it goes down into the river, and people ride their cars down, and they get out. You know, it stayed that horizontal. There was, I think, six people who died.
Okay, see, it was 1995.
Yeah. Okay. It's so there, and then it's also what do you call it? The Khobar Towers. The front came off of that, like somebody took a knife through it. You know, you can't have a bomb on the street and have.
Well, there's some pretty damned amazing technology out there that is being kept top secret, clearly.
With the Oklahoma City, you had toasted cars and resting down the street.
Right. All right, hold on a sec. We have to do a little bit of business, Judy, and we'll come right back. Back in a minute. PhD, her remarkable book. Again, I hope you'll get a copy if you haven't, and take a look. It's really something. Where is the easiest place to get the book, Judy?
Where did the towers go? .com. That's all one word. And there's a choice of places to get it there, or you can go to Amazon and look up Where Did the Towers Go. Or look at my name and you find it.
We can go to your website.
Yep.
Dr. Judy Wood, DrJudy Wood.com.
That's an old website, but I've left it as is sort of a filing cabinet of a whole lot of data. Because as I was working on the book, as well as my federal QTAM case, I know that dead people keep secrets, and I didn't want to be one of those, so I wasn't keeping secrets. I was putting the stuff there.
Yeah. Have you had many threats?
You don't get threats. I think you're in the most danger before you know you are. And things happened to me early on.
That just happened to me in April.
Stuff happens. But I've had some really nasty things happen to me, but this, like I said in the introduction chapter, when I first told my mom I had to do this, she said, "Well, you won't have a job." And I said, "If I don't, nobody will." That was my response. If I don't, nobody will. And I still feel that way.
Yeah.
I described this technology in the book as magnetic electrogravitic nuclear reactions. It's a type of reactions. It does, nuclear is in there, but it's not a nuke bomb. They also put off a shockwave. There was no shockwave associated with the event.
No,
that
nothing
day.
On the seismographs to sustain any normal contentions of a large mass hitting the ground either. Nothing.
Right. John, right, so that's why I say you rule out nuke bombs.
Yeah,
I
never have believed that nuclear weapons, nuclear technology by itself did this, ever. No.
Or even in conjunction with anything else. This is one of the nuclear byproducts are part of the remnants of what this does.
Okay.
It does create a nuclear reaction, like we're talking about.
Measurable radionuclides?
Well, the tritium that's measured, it has a half-life of about 12 and a half years, but there's a bunch of it. It's like 50 times normal, was measured in the basement of Building 6 afterwards.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so that's why I went into I looked at all of the data. Okay, what would explain this? And it can't be explained by anything, normal. But it's also, it would be 18,000 times that if it was a nuke bomb, or lots of little nuke bombs. That's why it's a nuclear process, but not a nuke bomb.
Which story it was. It was closed off months and months before, 16th floor or something like that in one of the towers.
Yeah, what does that have to do with what happened?
It didn't? Well, they were moving things in there.
No, I'm saying, what does that have to do with what happened? It is a distraction of, they powered down this and they did this. I'm looking at, you start out with the most gross level is what happened to buildings? They mostly turned to dust in midair.
That's the big question. What happened to them? John Hutchison, I mentioned him at the beginning of the program. What is John's stance on this now? He's been a supporter of yours from the beginning.
And so he's entitled to have a fun life. He's using this to try to clean up things from Fukushima in his area by trying different wavelengths and intersecting with different...
I've been on the story of Fukushima every week, every Monday, the third hour. We do an hour on it. I do other times during the week. I'll do reports on it.
Yeah.
We've been on it from the beginning, and bless John. He tried to help in the Gulf of Mexico blow out, too, and they rejected it.
This technology could be used to clean up Fukushima, but Fukushima is the way it is because somebody wants it that way.
Uh-huh.
But also, if they did use it to clean up Fukushima, that would require, a secondary effect would be disclosing this technology exists.
Well, they won't disclose. No way.
Right. So they want it to be the way it is.
No, they're letting us die to keep their little damn secret of their super advanced technology they probably got from E.T. somewhere.
So you can see why it's important to be able to observe just what happens. There's no way you can, argue around this. Now, what John Hutchison's work shows is all of the same phenomena that he can reproduce, including, the tritium.
Uh-huh.
Issues.
He showed that. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, as well as...
You're talking about transmutation of radioactive nuclides, ultimately.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things. His stuff isn't really very well controlled. It's like sometimes he gets this, sometimes he gets that, depending on the shape of the wave, the relative strength, and some other issues. But he's reproduced all the things. Sometimes you get levitation, sometimes you get dustification.
Mm-hmm.
And if things aren't grounded, they tend to, get toasted. Kind of like the toasted cars up on rubber tires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder about, as tall as the tower was, it can build up a charge faster than it can discharge.
Have you figured out or projected any size of components for this technology? How big would it have to have been, perhaps? Do you have any idea?
It's how you use it. If you know what the makeup of it is.
Uh-huh.
Let's look at how John Hutchison does it. He creates a static field. And within the static field, he intersects various radio frequency signals. For example, like microwave.
Uh-huh.
Sound familiar? And so he uses a Van de Graaff generator. He used to use a Tesla coil. Okay, this is a possibility. I don't have proof of this, but I do have proof. There was this huge hurricane there that day. What do hurricanes do? They create a static field. Well, it turns out that the three major airports surrounding Manhattan all reported thunder that day.
Huh.
I mean, so we had dry thunder. That shows that the field effects of the hurricane covered that area. Okay, so here we have a static field. All you need is a microwave field to replicate what Hutchison was doing.
Understood. Simplified. Tremendous.
Yeah. There's another... I'm not saying I have proof that was used. It very well could have been. And especially the strangeness of its path and that they didn't evacuate the city.
Judy, we don't have a lot of time, but you're charting and documenting what actually happened to those structures is phenomenal. Phenomenal. And I just don't know.
There's something else I want to mention.
Okay, we have three minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. The static field intersecting with the radio frequency signal. You remember in beginning of the summer of 2008, we suddenly started getting these super duper mega tornado systems in the Midwest?
Right.
And it was like every year. Well, normally you get tornadoes moving through the Midwest. Normal storm systems with a static field around them. It turns out, was it February 2009, we're required to switch over to digital television. So that meant the summer of 2008, they're putting in brand new radio frequency transmission towers.
Wow.
So you have a static field moving through with maybe unintended consequences, but it starts to make you worry about why they had to make that switch over.
Got it. Wow.
Because, we do know what Hutchison can do, and then you see there's reason to see it there. And you remember those birds that fell out of the sky?
Uh-huh.
There's a storm system that just moved through there past some radio towers. I looked it up right afterwards and saw that.
Right.
So, you know, very likely could have been from that.
And all those antelopes that died? Oh, forget how many.
Yeah.
Lots.
But there can be unintended consequences, or maybe it's going to be intended. Who knows?
Well, we don't know. We just don't know.
But what's important is we know what the physics does.
Okay.
Static field interfered with radio frequency signals, and you get these weird things happening.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, we have about a minute left, Judy. What do you want to do to wrap this up? Anything you want to leave people thinking about? You presented it so perfectly in the first hour.
I think it's so important for people to read my book. It's not that I'm pushing my book.
No, you never have. I know.
They can check it out at their library. But to go through it from front to back and just go through it, it will help you learn to see what is in front of you. And that will be so vital.
It'll help you understand what's being done to you right now and what the plans are. I mean, it's right there.
They're scrambling people's thinking, and the perfect example of it is on 9/11. People's minds were shut down from this trauma, and all sorts of subconscious things were put in there. So when you are led to believe, you know, airplanes, Muslims, and see total destruction, start thinking about, this weapon having been used.
The aerial shots showing a circular hole in one of the adjacent buildings in the complex.
No, building six was missing.
Six. Gone.
That's the one that had the high tritium levels measured.
Would that suggest satellite origin?
Not necessarily, because Hutchison had zones, you know, cylindrical zones missing in some of his samples.
Huh. Oh, really?
That it just is something that happens. You know, imagine drawing a straight line in space between two points, and then everything at a radial distance from that line gets dustified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And these just happen to be vertical, and they went into the ground as well.
Most interesting. Well, my friend, it's been great to talk to you again. We'll follow up maybe in another 4 years or less. God knows. Maybe we can get together after the next false flag event and chat about that. It's coming. They'll do it. I don't know what, when, or where, but that'll happen. Judy, thank you so much for doing everything you've done for all of us. Seriously.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. And you take care of yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Okay, you bet, Judy. Good night. Yep.
Good night.
Dr. Judy Wood, and we'll be back with another scintillating hour. Who Done It? Next.